Hey, everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Avenue's Minor League Podcast. I'm Steve Sipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Lavin and Thomas Henderson. How's everyone doing this week?
Doing okay.
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, fine.
That's good. The weather is getting cold again, so that's...
good for me.
Yeah. Good for one person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, promote, extend, trade for this week. And back in 2018, so not too long ago, although 2018 does seem like forever ago, and it really wasn't, but I guess the world has kind of changed since then. But back in 2018, on this date, Bethesda Game Studios released Fallout 76. And at its core, good idea. I mean, Fallout, great series, but terrible, terrible execution. I mean, it's an RPG game, and it was an RPG without NPCs. And that's one of the things where you say to yourself, what the hell are they thinking? Who approved this?
Oh, Bethesda.
I know, like, for real. So circling back to baseball now, I don't know if you guys know, but the Charleston River Dogs, they've had so many horrible promotions over the last couple of years that they actually had a contest in conjunction with a local newspaper that had a bracket of 32 of their most poorly thought out promotional ideas. Not just one, not just five, 32. So, what WTF poorly thought out River Dogs promotions are we going to promote, extend, or trade? And I picked out a select few here. First up, we have Tanya Harding bat giveaway night.
What?
No.
Yes.
No, they did not.
They gave We're out mini bats. Strong. They gave out mini bats to fans, and Tanya Steve, Harding was.
Give us some context.
I cannot tell you. I don't have that information in front of you. I have a URL though, if you want to look it up to see that I'm being honest.
I'm furiously Googling.
So, yes, first up, we have Tanya Harding bat giveaway night, where they gave away mini bats, and Tanya Harding was indeed the guest of honor. Next, we have Bobble Boobs breast cancer awareness night, where paying attendees got Bobble Boobs. And last, and certainly not least, is 285,000 used car giveaway, where they celebrated their attendance mark of 285,000 people, and they raffled off a 1998 Honda Civic, and it had 285,000 miles on it. So one lucky person got a nice ride.
This is very bad.
The River Dogs are bad, yeah.
Tanya Harding bat giveaway is so...
That's so egregiously bad.
Yeah, that's
terrible,
like...
but I do feel better knowing she was in on the joke. You know?
I mean, it makes it a little bit better, but...
still, incredibly poor team.
Yeah, like...
good lord.
But it's not even, it's like, she's from Oregon. Like, it's not even like she's a local celebrity. Like,
no. Thomas,
they had a bunch of mini bats. Tanya Harding was available.
Pretty much.
Because if it was like, oh, what's that Portland team that used to be the, whatever, it doesn't matter. But if it was some like Portland AA team and they were like Tanya Harding bat, I'm like, all right, at least she's from there. Like, you could kind of fake it and say that it makes sense. No, this is like you're on the other side of the country, and you're just like, let's just get Tanya Harding to come through.
It's like they went on Cameo and saw who has, like, the cheapest prices, and like, oh, yeah. She'll do this. So, yeah, those are, I mean, the car, I mean, at least maybe someone got a couple of miles out of the car. And Bobble Boobs, it's like a novelty, I guess.
Mm.
It reminds me of those bracelets people wore in high school.
Mm. But yeah, the bad giveaway seems like that's getting either promoted or traded, I don't know, whatever in context, though. That's definitely the worst.
Yeah. The other two are just stupid. That one is, like, actively offensive.
Yeah.
I found a Tanya Harding signed autographed mini bat.
God, why does this exist?
Well, before we move on, I just want to highlight a couple of other things that were on the bracket. We have Nobody Night, where they didn't let anybody into the inning, into the stadium till the fifth inning, so that they could set an attendance record of zero.
That's pretty funny.
I have another one with Silent Night, where basically they hired librarians to be the ushers, and they shushed everybody, and no one was allowed to make noise for five innings.
Those are just like oddities. Like, oh, that's a little kooky. That's fun, because that's kind of what minor league baseball should be.
Hiring librarians is really funny.
Mm-hmm. Two that were definitely like, what the fuck did these guys think was going to happen? You had Color Powdered Night and Silly String Night.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah.
Yep.
Public safety hazard, yes.
There was Laundry Night, where they had a bunch of laundry washing machines and dryers on the concourse, and everyone was allowed to bring their laundry.
I like that
and
one.
Do some free laundry, yeah.
That one's funny.
You had funeral...
How did they run the water lines out there? That seems like a lot of work.
I mean, they have, you know, to all the lines to do the... field, so I guess there's a lot of
all right.
Funeral giveaway, where one fan won a
he won a death
prepaid.
He just was killed on the spot and taken directly to the pre-prepared funeral. Steve isn't even gonna correct me.
No, it's just that's good enough.
They're going to do I Think You Should Leave Night next year or whatever, and it's going to be hilarious.
Two good ones, Prostate Awareness Night and Vasectomy Night.
Sure.
Everyone in attendance gets a free vasectomy.
Non-negotiable.
Everyone.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I don't know if this actually happened or not, but during Prostate Awareness Night, the general manager was supposed to receive a prostate exam during the seventh inning stretch. So,
no.
Yeah. So,
to clarify, it's Prostate Awareness Night, not Prostate Cancer Awareness Night.
No, it's just awareness that you have one.
Just awareness.
You know that's in there, right?
Uh-huh.
Is there anything wrong with it? I don't know.
There are going to be some sickos out there making some real sexualized jokes about this, but okay, great. Mm. Just wonderful promotions all around.
Yeah.
10-10, so. No notes.
Those are only a couple, and I invite anyone to, you know, look up the Charleston River Dogs past promotional nights, because they're, you know, they were some good ones.
And also some very bad ones.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're all bad, so... But some that were more bad than others, and some that are so bad that they were good. But it's all on a spectrum of badness.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of badness spectrum, let's go over the AFL. And on Friday, the Peoria Javelinas, they played the Mesa Desert Dogs in the AFL semifinals. I guess they were the semifinals, and they lost. So... thankfully, the AFL season is over. Mesa went on to play the Surprise Cigarros in the finals. The Cigarros won the 2022 Arizona Fall League. And hooray, the AFL is over. And it was just an extremely boring AFL this year. I mean, basically the highest profile player that the Mets sent was Stanley Consuegra, and he's far from a slam dunk prospect. There weren't any guys coming back from injury like we were kind of hoping that, you know, Matthew Allen would be over the summer. There weren't, like, even cusper guys where, like, the team wanted to see how they'd perform and then maybe they'd be 40-man roster candidates or trade bait or whatever. Just none of that happened. Mm. And we didn't even get StatCast data because, you know, it's only available in certain stadiums and Peoria didn't play those places much, so... it was just 6 weeks of useless, boring stats.
Womp womp.
Yeah. So we'll go over those boring, useless stats. Stanley Consuegra, he played in 11 games total, and he hit 167, 244, 389, with two doubles, two homers, three walks, and 12 strikeouts. Kevin Kendall, I guess Kevin Kendall was, if Consuegra was the highest profile prospect player, Kendall was, I guess, the most interesting guy, just because he missed the whole season due to injury, basically, and he was kind of like a guy that was maybe on the top 25 last year. So, but he appeared in 20 games, and he hit 208, 344, 286 with three doubles, a homer, 13 walks, 22 strikeouts, and four stolen bases in four attempts. Brandon McIlwain appeared in 11 games, and he hit 175, 233, 325 with one double, a triple, homer, two walks, 14 strikeouts, and one stolen base in two attempts. And the last hitter was Luke Ritter, and he appeared in 16 games, and he hit 146, 290, 271 with two homers, nine walks, and 20 strikeouts. Pitchers now, Grant Hartwig. He appeared in 7 games, and he posted an even 10 ERA in 9 innings.
Yeesh.
That's one of the best. 10 ERA in 9 innings with 15 hits allowed, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts, and he hit 2 batters. Franklin Sanchez appeared in 7 games as well, and he had an 11.05 ERA in 7.1 innings with 11 hits allowed, 6 walks, 5 strikeouts, 1 hit batter, and 1 wild pitch. Christian Scott, he appeared in 4 games, all of them were starts, and he had a 10.38 ERA in 13 innings with 27 hits allowed, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts, and 1 hit batter. Mike Vasil, he appeared in 6 games, 5 of them were starts, and he posted a 2.93 ERA in 15.1 innings with 10 hits allowed, 9 walks, 18 strikeouts, 3 hit batsmen, and 1 wild pitch. And last guy is Josh Walker, and he appeared in 8 games, and he had a 2.89 ERA in 9.1 innings with 8 hits allowed, 5 walks, 14 strikeouts, 1 hit batter, and 1 wild pitch. So, thankfully, the AFL book now is closed.
You guys know the adage that you hear about, like, quarterbacks sometimes, when people are talking about their quarterback, their QBR or something, and they're like, yeah, that's worse than just throwing it into the dirt, because your QBR, when you just throw an incompletion, is like 33 or something, and you could be worse than that if you do worse things. I feel like that applies to a lot of these pitchers. They would have been better off just throwing the ball in the dirt every time.
Just was not a particularly compelling group of performances whatsoever.
No.
At least Mike Vasil started out kind of poor, but he got things, you know, he did get back on track, so that's good. Josh Walker was solid, I guess, but everyone else is just like, ugh.
Walker's like one of the few guys who had some intriguing statcasty stuff, like pumped some good velo out of the bullpen. Or not out of the bullpen, but on the mound. That's what I meant to say. So, but other than that, just ugh.
Yeah, I mean, he's a left-hander, so they'll always get extra room rope. He'll probably be competing for a bullpen job next year, I would assume, just because the bullpen is going to be so in flux.
Yeah.
So he didn't do bad for himself. So we'll see. All right. So obviously the minor league season is over now, and MLB.com has been giving out like all-stars and MVP awards and all that kind of stuff. And they finally finished. So from top to bottom, we're going to go over which Mets minor leaguers got some hardware. Starting off with AAA, the International League, Mark Vientos was named All-Star third baseman, and he was the Mets' lone player.
Is the third baseman in quotes?
No, he's the third baseman. He played more third base than any other position, so that is, I guess, his official position.
He did stand there very often, he did. Yes.
Next, going down to AA in the Eastern League, Brett Beatty was named All-Star third baseman, and Francisco Alvarez was named All-Star catcher. Going down to High A now in the South Atlantic League, Brooklyn technically did not have a single player. They did name Nick Zwack an all-star left-handed pitcher, but, you know, he started the season in St. Lucie, only spent 2 months in Brooklyn. They were very good months, yes, but 2 months. And then he got traded to San Francisco at the end of July. So their only all-star is not even on the team and hasn't been on the team for some time. So, whoops.
That's a yikes moment right there.
Speaking of another whoops and another yikes, you know who was named MVP of the South Atlantic League?
Oh, no.
Our old friend, Andy Rodriguez.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Top 100 prospect.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks, but I don't know. At least you could see the process there when they traded and they got Joey Lucchese. It's like win some, lose some. Definitely Mets have lost here, but
I can't get the strike rate on the IFA guys is so low.
Yeah.
I can't be too angry about that given it's frustrating, right? You want them to be in a spot where they're developing their own Joey Lucchese every couple of years, but they aren't, so you gotta do this.
And they're probably gonna have to do it again. Just with the way the bullpen is set up and the lack of starting depth is set up. I don't know if they're gonna sign they could do that, but it might be a little difficult because guys just choose other places. They're not always gonna choose here. So you might have to make some trades to do the same thing, and at the deadline too. So it's just going to be one of those things where, like with the Wilmer Font trade, like that didn't burn them because he flamed out. But not every time, they're not always going to flame out, and so sometimes you're going to lose.
Yep, like Lucas said, it's just more frustrating because.
Oh, I agree. Sucks.
Yep. All right, moving to single A in the Florida State League now. William Lugo was named All-Star third baseman. Alex Ramirez was named All-Star outfielder. And Omar De Los Santos was not just named All-Star outfielder, but he was also named league MVP. He hit 272, 339, 459 in 111 games, had 16 home runs. He had the league leading 70 stolen bases. Pretty solid 7.3% walk rate, but unfortunately he had a 31.6% strikeout rate as like a 23-year-old in single A. So
yeah, he probably can't hit, but
yeah, I had a friend ask me the other day about the likelihood of him succeeding because he had an Omar Santos jersey that he wants to rock, and if Omar De Los Santos came up then he would be able to take that out of the closet, but unfortunately the odds of Omar De Los Santos becoming even a fringy major leaguer is pretty, you know, pretty low.
Yeah, the bat to ball just isn't really there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Lee, but in single A.
Yeah, and I guess faster. Though Khalil Lee does have pretty good speed. And now the last level, the Florida Complex League, Juwilmi Ramirez, he was not only named Florida Complex League All-Star, but he also won Pitcher of the Year. He made 11 appearances on the team, six of which were starts, and he posted a 0.84 ERA in 43 innings. He allowed 27 hits, he walked 6, and he struck out 40. And we briefly spoke about him a couple of weeks ago, since he did, you know, he had the lowest ERA in the system, and we'll talk about him in a little bit, since this week we're going to be reviewing the Mets complex teams. So those are league all-stars, MVPs, etc. And they also, in addition to those league awards, they named basically individual, or they started to anyway, name individual organizational all-star teams, and they did get to the Mets. So this is the MILB.com Mets All-Star Team. At first base, you have Mark Vientos, even though he was named third base All-Star.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, what can you do? At second base is Wyatt Young, which shows the lack of second baseman in the system, but also second base is not like a second base prospect. You know,
that's not a prospect place. Like, you end up there.
Yep, yep.
It's a very, like, second base prospect. Like, But Nick Jumbo Gonzalez, Shrimp. Nick York, not a lot of them in the minors. Oddly, and, like, okay. Andy's kind of a second base prospect in a way. He's like catcher, second base, outfield. It's very odd and fun.
Yes. We love our athletic catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's not ours anymore.
Yes.
But
yes,
the Mets do have an athletic catcher that we will talk about, so that's good. That's yep. not Francisco Alvarez. So third base now is Brett Beatty. Shortstop is Ronnie Mauricio. Three outfielders, Alex Ramirez, Jake Mangum, and Omar De Los Santos. Catcher, Francisco Alvarez. Right-handed pitcher is Dominic Hamill. Left-handed pitcher is Javier Atencio. And relief pitcher is Grant Harwig. So do you think that there's anyone that was more deserving or that somebody got snubbed or anything?
You probably... Jet didn't really play, but, like, he should have. Yeah. Ronnie Mauricio.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it doesn't feel right, but at the same time, like, if you look, there just really is, like...
We literally just talked about it with second base. Like, Jet Williams is probably the second baseman of the future, but you know he's not playing there now, because why would you do that, you know? So it's Wyatt Young.
Oh, good. Unfortunately. Kevin Kendall. Oh, God. No, Kevin Kendall was bad. No.
He only played, like, three games.
I was trying to come up with a different shortstop than Mauricio.
There just isn't any, though. Like,
yeah. No.
And those guys just aren't in the system, really, and that's a different problem.
When us, the, like, near-ultimate Mets-brained prospect people out there have to scroll through roster resource to come up with some names of shortstops in the system. Yeah, that's where we're at this point. Give it to Junior Tillian.
Yeah, you could have done that. That's fair.
That is a good point. I think he did play more third base, though, than short.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did play some shortstop, so good enough.
They had the same WRC plus, though obviously Tillian is in single A and Mauricio's in double A. Also, Mauricio's only a year older. We're just forcing it here. The answer is unfortunately Mauricio.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, and that's why he still has some prospect cachet around, but it's still, everyone kind of knows he's one of those like top 100 guys, I guess, who you're just kind of like, that's probably not going to work, even though you have to put them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we'll be having this discussion next year, and we'll be like, oh yeah, obviously, Ronnie Mauricio. I mean, he's a 300 hitter that slugged 30 bombs and stole 30 bases, you know?
Somehow walked 50% of the time.
Oh, can someone check?
You know what he was doing? He was saving up all the walks all along. He was just holding on to them.
He sent them all immediately. Immediately back to being Ronnie Mauricio.
he's spending them all in the Dominican Winter League. Can someone look up his stats? How many walks?
It went back to normal thing. I think he was walking like 4% of the time last time I checked.
Oh well, that's unfortunate.
If I could spell Dominican, which I somehow can't, what is wrong with me?
I guess we're not going to be able to take anything, and we're not going to glean any meaningful changes from Ronnie Mauricio's
Walks and 95 plate appearances.
Nice.
4.2.
All four walks were in, like, the first two games of the season.
Yeah, no.
That's also somehow even worse than his double A.
Well,
just so frustrating. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about Ronnie Mauricio, but, like,
we could fill an entire podcast just complaining about how frustrating he is.
Yeah. You just need to find a team who thinks they could fix him.
Yeah, unfortunately, that team is probably not the Mets, but, you know, you never know. I mean, Amed Rosario was, I don't want to say in the same boat, but he did, you know, pop that one year, I think 2018.
He had a really good second half.
Yeah, 2017.
But he's just Amed Rosario, like,
he's
like that in Cleveland, too.
Yep, so hopefully next year will be a more clear slam dunk group of Mets All-Stars. All right, so this week we're going to finish up our minor league affiliate reviews, and this week we're going to do the FCL Mets and the DSL Mets. And it's kind of our relationship with them is kind of complicated. Everyone that's listening, I'm sure most of you read the daily minor league farm reports. You know that we really don't give those teams any attention. We'll post like the FCL stats, but that's it. We don't write recaps of the games. You don't particularly highlight any of the players rostered down there. We don't really do anything. And the DSL, we literally don't even post the stats. And just the fact of the matter is that good or bad, win or lose, whatever, like none of that really matters. Obviously, you know, it's great for the individual players. Like, hey, great, you're playing on a winning team. Fosters high morale and camaraderie and whatever else. But at the end of the day, you know, those leagues are just for player development. And they are the rawest of the raw, especially in the Dominican Summer League, where these kids are literal kids, you know, it's like 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds that recently signed contracts as amateurs, and their main experience in baseball is just like pickup games or working with their buscones or whatever. So these guys are all super raw and playing against super raw competition, and skill level can fluctuate wildly from a guy that just kind of barely belongs to guys that are clearly have physical gifts and tools and stuff that are heads and tails way bigger than everyone else's. So
that's like there's top prospects playing in these games. We just don't know it yet.
And right.
We won't know it until they're here. Yep. For the most part. Sometimes you'll know earlier, but that's rare. Like, for the most part, it's kind of just a waiting game with the DSL.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the complex, in a way, but the DSL is more specifically.
Yeah, I mean, that is Wild West, just because also we have less access to information because it's in a whole different country. So, and also because, like I was saying, those guys are literally the rawest of the raw. At least with like the guys that are in the Florida Complex League, most of them have kind of long track records, either in like high school or the, you know, you'll get the occasional college guy that stops in for, you know, a third of a season, whatever, before getting promoted.
I think that'll happen more with the late draft too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mean,
the college guys just ending their first year here, because why would you do anything else? It's like 14 games.
Mm-hmm. The college season ends in June, like middle to end of June. And then the draft is at the middle of end of July. So it's basically players are getting like a month off, college players. So a brief stop in the FCL to kind of get reacclimated to things, to figure out like, okay, this is what it's going to be like to be a professional. And then off you go. So anyway, who are some of the standouts for you guys? More so, I guess, in the FCL, because, you know, like we were saying, the DSL is just, you know, I guess in theory you could say like anyone is a standout on the DSL because you guys know how prospect analysis, you know, can be. And, you know, this guy is the next Ken Griffey Jr., if he develops. This guy is the next Nolan Ryan, if he develops. And, you know, that's a very wide range of.
Yeah, those are my favorite. he's Mickey Mantle mixed with Willie Mays. I'm like, bro, he's 14.
He's literally God.
And it's like, okay. And then, like, if you get Juan Lagares, it's like a huge win. Or mm-hmm. Flores or something.
Yep.
At least in the complex, I think the obvious answer is Jacob Reimer.
Damn it.
Ha!
That was mine.
It's Scoop. No, I can come up with someone else real quick. Here, no, you do your Jacob fine. Reimer. Okay. I mean, Jacob Reimer was a prep bat that they took in this year's draft. He looks better than the prep bats they took before him. Nick Morabito does not look so good. But, I mean, Reimer is very much a prospect after my own heart, given his 20% walk rate. Now, that was only in 7 games, but seems to have a good eye at the plate.
Positively Will Toffian.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he has better tools than Will Toffee. Will Toffee did not have much in the tools department, unfortunately. So that's the most interesting one. And it's progress in terms of the type of prep bat they're taking, really, because they've taken a lot of bad preps, and they seem to have hit on one here. Hopefully.
Yeah. He was a guy, when they drafted, I remember people being like, ah, nice. That's an interesting name. And then he performed in his first taste.
That's what we like to see. One guy that...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, is that one guy that kind of hasn't done that was a guy that they drafted 2019, Blaine McIntosh, who I really liked at the time. I think that more so than others, this recent crop of... Well, not recent, but I guess the 2019 class and maybe also 2018. Like guys that were drafted out of high school those years really got impacted by COVID and not having an entire season at a really, really important juncture in their careers. Because, I mean, McIntosh, like he's been in the system for a couple of years now. He's 21, but he's still like super raw. And he didn't perform bad. It's just like you're waiting for like the next him to take the next step, and he kind of hasn't. You know, he's not like struggling or nothing really, but it's like one of those things. Like, okay, you expect like a prep player, to like okay start taking like you know training wheels off at this point, and he's like still needs those training wheels, and without the context of missing the whole year in COVID, you kind of like write a guy like him off, but then, okay, now you have to say, yeah, but he also did miss the whole year with COVID and a kind of important year. So he's a guy that the, you know, jury's still out on. But
I think if we want to have a DSL name in here, the answer is Jesus Baez more so than.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Did I steal your name again, Thomas?
No, mine is he is a IFA guy, but he was in the FCL.
Okay, well that's good. So like everyone's gonna focus in on Simon Juan or Willie. You're gonna forgive my lack of Spanish knowledge here. How do you pronounce the N with the
Fañas?
Fañas, thank you.
Fañas.
Both of those guys got the big money, and I think they're generally fine DSL prospects. But Baez was the one that was quite good and showed some potential power upside out down there in the DSL. Definitely a less heralded signing. Both Baseball America and then last week Baseball Prospectus have been on him as well. So I think that's probably the DSL name to watch from this past season.
Yep, there's a bunch of like we were saying, there's a bunch of wide range of outcome guys, and hopefully most of them do become Willie Mays and God, but
and God, yes,
and God put together, but unfortunately, you know, unlikely to happen. But
so my guy is Vincent Perozzo, and he is a lefty hitting 5'10", 230-pound catcher and first baseman. And the reason why I'm shouting him out is because he was in the FCL last year at 18. He was bad. He hit 173, 349, 269, but then he repeated last year, and he hit 283, 387, 475 at 19. So, like, good for him. And that's the improvement you want to see, obviously. They pushed him a little bit, probably at 18, pushing him all the way to the FCL, and he paid for it. He was not good, but then he learned from what that experience was. And was legitimately good, and he played 36 games for them. Like, he was there most of the time, and he was one of their steady players. And obviously, because in the FCL, people bounce in and out and stuff. But then he got a late... 10 games. Like, it's more about him to the next level and stuff, and that's always nice to see. Also, a lefty hitting catcher, so.
Mm-hmm. Ostadio-type body there.
Oh, absolutely.
Listen,
he actually caught most of the. He actually caught most of the time too. He only played 6 games at first base.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like they think that he will be able to stay back there. So that's good.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things. It's nice to see. It's nice to see that progression if you repeat a level. Mm-hmm. Looking at you, Jalen Palmer.
And also you, Shervia Newton.
Yes.
A little less aw, but...
Yeah. But still.
Yeah, he's definitely a breakout guy. I mean, I don't really know. We don't have, like, we haven't done it yet, but I think he's probably going to be on top 25, mm-hmm. at least some of the top 25 lists.
He probably sneaks in on mine.
Hopefully he does not... The next Andy Rodriguez in that the Mets trade him and he blossoms. Hopefully, though, he is the next Andy Rodriguez in that he blossoms, period. No trades.
Agreed.
But, I mean, this is kind of like the exact same mold as Andy Rodriguez. So
it's so frustrating because the Mets clearly don't scout here yet well in their own system. Like, they clearly don't know who's good because they just let other teams choose sometimes, I feel. Like,
yep.
Just like it's kind of they'll give up interesting players, and I think they gave up one. Mm-hmm. There was a guy they gave up this year. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on what trade it was. Naquin. And I was like, like, why him? Like, why did you let that happen? You got to do the Naquin trade. You have to. Travis Jankowski can't be happening. But also, you could pick better. Protect
and then,
those.
And then they did it worse a week later.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm.
Not what we like to see.
It's just frustrating. And obviously that will get better with time. That's a Wilpon holdover thing. And we're still early in this cycle of getting all that stuff out of the system. But it's still here, unfortunately.
Very well represented, unfortunately. I think there were 3 pitchers that stood out. And they are varying degrees of good. First guy is the aforementioned Juilmi Ramirez, who had, you know, won that ERA title and was the named FCL All-Star. And he had a pretty good season, obviously very good ERA. 0.78 in 46.1 innings. He allowed 29 hits. He walked 10 and he struck out 43. The stuff, though, is okay. Not outstanding. He's 6'2", 170, so probably fill out a little bit more, and that should help the fastball, because right now the fastball sits 88-94, averages 92. Not bad, but not great either, you know, especially in today's day and age. Spin rate is same thing. Spin rate's about average. So he's a guy that I think is able to just kind of dominate hitters at such a low level, but at higher levels, when you have guys that are better hitters, a guy like him will struggle if he doesn't, you know, start taking the next steps. And with a fastball like that, he does have a good changeup, and that's really it, though. So, I mean, a 2-pitch pitcher, like, you really need to start adding to your repertoire.
A special pitch.
Yeah. Well, it's not, unfortunately. Another right-handed pitcher, Douglas Orellana. Same thing, another international free agent. He pitched with the FCL Mets 36.1 innings. He had a 3.96 ERA. Then he got promoted to St. Lucie at the end of the year and was considerably worse. The thing, though, that really jumps out with Orellana is the walks. In 36.1 innings with the FCL Mets, he walked 21. And then in 6 innings with St. Lucie, he walked 7. And his mechanics are just not good. He has a really big head jerk. He really exaggeratedly falls off the mound, kind of like K-Rod. Like, that does not help the control. And the Mets did work with him a little bit. They changed his arm slot. He when he was an amateur, he had a long arm slot. They changed it to short-arming it. And that did help a little bit, as compared to like his numbers last year, but you know, when you improve something from really bad to just plain bad, it's still bad, you know. Mm-hmm. This stuff though is intriguing, and if he could work on the control, maybe you can get a interesting reliever out of him. He has a two pitch repertoire right now, so fastball, curveball. Fastball sits 93 to 97, and it has well above average spin rates, and it has like natural cutting action, kind of like Tyler Glasnow's fastball, even though it's a four seamer, kind of cuts. But then his other pitch, a curveball, is just kind of like run of the mill. So another guy that you can dominate players at such a low level, but when you start moving up the ladder, like, you really need to improve, dude, especially with that control. And the last of the three, and the best, and one that on the surface, I kind of was just like, yeah, like, he posted interesting numbers, but they're just numbers, they don't matter. But then when I started digging deeper and I was looking to see, okay, what kind of stuff does this guy throw, blah, 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 I think he's a guy, is Leonel Ovias. And he's an IFA the Mets signed at the end of November. So he was, you know, kind of late for that 2020 class. And then obviously he didn't play in 2020 because of COVID. So he was in the DSL last year, or 2021, excuse me. He posted good numbers. And then he was in the FCL this year from June to August. And then he finished the season with St. Lucie. And he had a combined 4.05 ERA, which is all right. In 46.2 innings, he allowed 41 hits. He walked 17 and he struck out 66. And he was considerably better in the FCL than St. Lucie, which is not a great sign. But he was younger than average, a couple of years, actually, 3 years younger than average. So, but he's, you know, well built, so that's good. And he has a very advanced repertoire for a pitcher. And some of those pitchers are actually downright like really good. His fastball averaged 94, and it had a very high spin rate for a four-seam fastball. It had 2,535 RPM, which is about 200 RPM over the major league average for a fastball. So you have good velocity, you have good spin, you get a lot of spins and misses. He has a changeup, a curveball, occasionally throws a slider. Changeup is really good pitch, especially against left-handed hitters, a lot of swings and misses. Curveball, it's kind of like a get-me-over pitch, but it also gets a lot of swings and misses too. And then the slider, I don't know, he kind of needs to figure out how to throw it better, because looking at the StatCast data, he basically only throws it down and to his arm side. So against right-handed hitters, like, yeah, it's down and away, but to left-handed hitters, that's literally down and in, and, you know, that's where left-handed hitters like pitches, down and in, because they can really reach down and get it. So he's a guy that I think has a lot of potential, and if the Mets can develop that, then he might be like the next, like, Joel Diaz or someone, you know, but we'll see. But I have faith. Do I have faith? I don't know.
When do we ever have faith in the Mets?
Yeah, I know.
What even is faith?
Sucks. Well, is there anyone else we want to bring up? DSL or FCL?
Checking my notes real quick. I think that's everyone.
I feel like we got everybody.
Yeah, I feel like that is the clear cream of the crop here. I mean, again, though, in the DSL, there are, you could name like half the team is like, this guy has this one really good tool. This mm-hmm. guy has this one really good pitch. But, you know, a lot of good, like, one pitch is going to do you. A lot of good being really fast is going to do you, you know, unless you're Terrence Gore.
Has anyone ever heard of a prospect named Kevin Parada? I don't know. He might be a big deal.
Kevin Parada.
Okay, I was very confused because I heard Kevin Piranha. Is this some IFA guy I missed or something?
I can't wait for the Piranha giveaway night at City.
That would actually be dope as hell.
I feel like there might be some lawsuit liability.
It's just in one of those little plastic bags like you get at the fair when you win a gold fish or whatever.
They have they replaced the do they still have that fish tank behind home plate in Miami?
No, they took it away.
They did? They took everything fun out of the ballpark. Well, if they did have a player named Kevin Piranha, they should totally replace all the fish in that tub with piranhas. And
pretty sure it's gone, though.
Like, no, look, the statue was an abomination, don't get me wrong, and the color scheme was a little bit glaring but fun, and they just, now that ballpark's just the soulless corporate hellscape.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about it. It's just like, at least it was personality.
If Kevin Piranha makes it, then they have to reinstall that kind of stuff, so. And I'm really rooting for Kevin Piranha now.
Now, what position does Kevin Piranha play?
Whatever position he wants, really.
I want to go with, like, punchless utility infielder type, but.
Just all defense and speed.
Yep. He's got a ferocious attack at the plate. I'll workshop it. I'll come back with something better.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a week. That's your homework. All right. If anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at ElvlaHost343. Ken is at Ken1191. Thomas is at ZedMetSZN, S-Z-N. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, rate and review, and of course, we thank you for listening. And we will be back next week. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.